Each and every single show, we are so excited. We start inside the Beltway, talking about what the buzz is in Washington and how it affects all of us across the country. With Talk Radio News, Ellen Ratner joins us, perfect to set up the week. And there is a lot going on, Ellen, no question about it. But let's start with Egypt, because now all these things are starting to come out about what was happening with the police, and they were beating some of the protesters, but they were beating people before and all this other sort of stuff. And somebody said to me today, and I'll ask you this question, how do you think history is going to look on our president as far as Egypt is concerned? What do you think?
Well, don't forget, he inherited 30 years of a relationship. And what was interesting is people are saying that there was a real divide between the State Department, which was essentially urging us to back Mubarak, and that's the Hillary Clinton State Department, and Obama that's saying time for an orderly transition. So that's when history gets written, that is going to be a very interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. It's going to be fun to watch, too, how things transition, which I think, and I'll get your take on this, too, because you follow what's going on with in other countries and, of course, what's happening in the White House and the reaction to all kinds of different things. But I think that whole deal about, oh, the transition has to be smooth, I think it's going to be a slow transition. What do you think?
Well, it is going to be a slow transition because they're saying until the next elections, the military is going to run the place, or until the next election, which supposedly is going to be in September, but we'll see if it doesn't happen before then.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, Sunday is a big day for talking heads on all of the programs across the board, you know, all the on the tube. Meet the Press. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, was on Meet the Press. I got up early. I was checking that out. I know you were. What did you think about some of the things Boehner had to say?
I thought he tried to deftly handle the fact that he is not going after his own caucus on issues of the birthers, of people who believe that Obama was born elsewhere other than Hawaii, and that kind of thing. He refused to call them crazy, saying basically people in the United States are entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. Hey, got to throw this in because we were talking about this way back in Mississippi. Your friend, Haley Barbour, who, of course, the man who was so, I think, beloved as governor, is kind of throwing out the seeds of, I'm not going to say if I'm officially going to run for president, but I'm thinking about it. That came out of CPAC. What'd you think?
Well, I think he is thinking about it, and I think nobody knows whether he's going to run. I don't think he gave a stirring speech at CPAC, which doesn't really help him with a conservative crowd, and you kind of need them to get elected.
Yeah. You said it, Ron Paul, the congressman from Texas, won the straw poll. But what does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean a lot, but it would mean that the Kucinich crowd, it would be as if the Kucinich crowd won a left pack. It would not be terribly unexpected. What is interesting is Mitt Romney, he came in with 31% of the vote, Mitt Romney with 22%. Sarah Palin, surprisingly, of course, she didn't show up, so that made people mad, 7%. Pawlenty, 6%. Mike Pence, 5%. Gingrich, 4%.
We'll keep tabs on that. President Obama, Valentine's Day, big deal for him. Is it going to be a sweetheart deal? He's going to propose, what was it that I saw, deficits. He's going to say cut the deficits by $1.1 trillion over 10 years. It's budget time for him. How do you think his budget's going to be received?
Well, not well. There's all kinds of photo ops tomorrow morning showing how all of this is going to, showing the budget coming to Capitol Hill and how it's going to actually be literally received by the Republicans. But I think that we're going to be hearing by the end of the day quite a few back and forths that aren't going to be so pretty.
Yeah, no kidding. Also, this week there's going to be a lot of talk about the Patriot Act and getting it back, the GOP losing the grip on it, so to speak, with the votes. What do you think happens there?
Well, it was a procedural mess that they made, thinking that they could essentially fast-track it. But so now they'll get it, and they'll be on a slow, it'll be a majority, basically.
All right, so we'll watch that for that count. And a big transition. Robert Gibbs, White House spokesperson, he's gone. Jay Carney is in. How do you think Jay Carney's going to treat the press? Because you're going to have to deal with him.
Well, yes, I am. I at least got an email right back. So that shows that he's at least responding, which is something Gibbs often did not do.
So, in other words, you're going to be guarded and see what happens.
I'm going to see what happens. I mean, he's a print guy, so that's probably a little more helpful.
There you go. All right, we look forward to the conversations this week. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much for the preview.
Okay.
Changing of the guard, as we were just talking about there in the White House, that's the flow of information. Why do we care about the White House spokesperson, all of you across America in your particular nooks and crannies? Because it is, like I said, the flow of information, communication. That's what the White House spokesperson is supposed to do. Granted, they're not going to show you all the goods, if you will, but at least tell you what's happening. And that's how a lot of reporters, even with sources, will end up getting some of the information, because you don't always have access, obviously, especially to this White House. So he's the spokesperson, the mouthpiece. So I think the changing of the guard, like I said, from Gibbs, who I was never a big fan of, as you know, I called him the White House flack, to Carney should be much better, but we'll see. Speaking of the flow of information, I asked Ellen about this. We were talking about Boehner on Meet the Press. Some of you might have seen it. We call it the Sunday Swirl. And he was particularly interesting because he's playing it the right way, I think, as the House Speaker, trying to get along in the playground, not necessarily throw stones when he doesn't have to. He said that he believes President Obama is an American citizen and a Christian, but Americans have the right to think otherwise if they choose so. His exact quote was, "It's not my job to tell the American people what to think. It's not my job. The state of Hawaii has said he was born there. That's good enough for me. The president says he's a Christian. I accept him at his word." And he rejects all the suggestions that he and other Republicans weren't very forcefully denouncing the myths about the president's citizenship and religion because it weakens Obama politically. And he said it right there. I mean, he said, listen, that's what I think, but America has the right to think whatever they want to think. All right, let me set up the menu for you, if you will. Coming up this hour of America Tonight, we have another sports shorts for you from that person named the Sports Princess. Also, because it is Valentine's Day, we have political Valentines. We're going to actually carry this over to two different shows. We'll give you a couple of those in this hour. I've written a few of them, even sent them off to the people who I think could pump them out there. Probably it's in spam somewhere. But I'm going to give you my best. I'm not Hallmark, but I wrote a few political Valentines I think that you'll get a snicker or two out of. So we're going to get to that. Plus, we're going to talk to Curtis Greco coming up next about Egypt. He's going to share some thoughts on what I've been talking about. Why should you give a crap about what's happening in Egypt? I've had people say to me, well, why are we giving aid to everybody? Let's just forget the aid and let's pull back and ignore all this crap in the Middle East. Let's just forget it. But we can't. We're involved. We're enmeshed in what's happening there. And we're going to ask Curtis Greco why we should care about Egypt and now this transformation of power that officially, I guess, will take place in September with the elections, because as Ellen said, she's right, the military pretty much is going to run things for now. So stay with us. Lots to come around the bend.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge. Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details.
or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all-natural, all-organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308-308. 0408. That's GetTheTea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
From this America Tonight crowd, be it chat, email, or 800-259-5791, how do you think the United States handled Egypt? So a couple of interesting comments from various people in the crowds at the square in Cairo that I thought were just perfect for the situation. In other words, they really had their finger on the pulse of this revolution or this movement away from the dictator Mubarak. One of the guys that was interviewed just briefly, he was shouting in the crowd and everything, said, "Why? We don't care about America, no offense, but this is the guy that you had in place. And he's taken a ton of our money, and we want our money back." So what a perfect place to start. Curtis Greco is the author of a book called Blind Vision, and we're going to pick his brain about Egypt and a few other things. Hey, Curtis, thanks for hanging with us here on ATN.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question. I was just talking about this. Two different things. One, why should the people listening to this show right now, and I've said this for the last 18 days, why should the people in the United States care about Egypt? Why is that? What is it that's important for the people here in America to realize about Egypt, or why should they care?
Well, there's a couple good reasons. The primary one being is the instability in Europe, or in particularly as it migrates from the Middle East through Europe, has several consequences to the United States. One is, of course, the ever-present threat of terrorism, but also economic and social instability that is caused also migrate. Consequences affect the United States as well.
Right. So, sure, the economic reality, and that's what I've been talking about too. That's what you have to care about. I mean, hey, if nothing else, you got to look at it. And as you said, you look at the situation with Europe and you look at the situation that's happened in a couple of other places. So absolutely. In the reverse side of that, and I've seen a couple of interviews now with some people in Egypt who were so-called leading the movement, if you will, of a revolution in the last 18 days, and they say they're not concerned about America's role in any of this, or why should America be telling us what to do? Because after all, they're the people, the Americans are the people who backed Mubarak, who was stealing money from us and who was a dictator. So why should we care what America thinks? You're not surprised by that, right?
Well, no, not really. But, you know, let's all be, you know, we need to have a little bit of a history lesson here in the United States and remember that the Middle East as we see it today with the appearance of sovereign countries, for example, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Israel, Yemen, Tunisia, Libya, and so on. These are all countries that are the creation of post-World War I France and England, who took what was largely a tribal region and partitioned it for management purposes to make it easier to manage and created these nation states as we see today. So, number one, there is no democratic history and process in the Middle East. These are largely tribal tradition, largely Arab, heavily Muslim-based folks who really, the fantasy that we would have here in the United States is somehow, and of course it's an American tradition, this concept that we can come into a place and we can somehow duplicate the American experience in areas where there is no history for it. The United States as we see it today, regardless of whether or not we have a conversation about the effectiveness of our democratic model or how well we honor the democratic and republican traditions of this country, let's be frank about it and realize that it is a process that has evolved over the last 200 plus years.
Right.
To think that we're going to go in and expect that these countries are going to summarily and universally resolve to American form of democracy is a fool's paradise. And if we look at it from the standpoint of Iraq as an example, without the U.S. there as a stabilizing factor, Iraq would easily suspend or revert back to some form of tribal conflict, which is largely going on as it is.
Right.
So the great question that we need to pay attention to, and we all need to be alert to, is that whether or not we look at the United States' role in the Middle East as backing someone like Mubarak, the fact of the matter is that without a strong centralized government similar to what you have in Israel, similar to what you have in Saudi Arabia, for example, or Mubarak, you are not going to be able to stabilize those traditional roles that have largely been tribal. So that's part of the equation that folks need to understand. There is no truth in the statement that simply because a few folks got around the table or their PCs late one night and started shooting off Facebook postings or Twitter messages that somehow this is the equivalent of a nascent democratic movement. There may be an ambition for it, but the lifeblood of democracy, as you and I know it, mm-hmm. as we have seen it here in the United States, is not something that just simply happened with a bunch of guys in Boston throwing a bunch of boxes of British tea in the water.
Yeah, wow, well said. I agree with you 100%. September, those elections then, having said that, we'll see. We'll see what happens because, you know, who knows what the form those elections what's really going to take place when they have them, if they have them in September. Do you think they'll hold the elections? There's a good question. You think they'll have them?
Well, you know, it's entirely possible, and I think that one thing to also be aware of is that, you know, Mubarak, love him or hate him, comes from a rich military history within Egypt, going back to the time of Nasser, and then ultimately to his predecessor, Sadat, and then, of course, because he was the former head of, if I remember my history correct, Mubarak was a commander of the Egyptian Air Force and then later became the head of the Egyptian defense. So as we move to this notion of, or this idea of democratic elections, I think it's entirely possible, and frankly, it is highly likely. But here is the big problem. Here is the big question. Look at the parallels historically. I was very much in tune with what was going on at the time of the Iran conflict and collapse of the Shah's regime. And here's the great kind of form of lunacy that a somewhat sophomorish approach to global nation building can ultimately fail, is to consider how Carter dealt with the Ayatollah Khomeini, that somehow we're going to have some sort of noble and virtuous conversation with Khomeini. They're going to allow him back into Iran, and we're all going to sit down at a table, and we're going to be friends, and we're going to work this out. Fast forward to today, and Obama's rhetoric, starting with, you know, the transition from the former Bush administration, that Obama made the comment that we're going to all sit down with Iran and we're all going to negotiate the conflagration between Iran, Iraq, and Iran's development of nuclear technologies for ballistic or nuclear weapons, and that somehow Obama believes that his persona, his charm, his great mastery of NLP is somehow going to completely reverse the caliphate mantra of the Muslim extremists, and somehow they're going to have an epiphany and realize that after all these years that the U.S. is now their friends. And so consequently, so if you look at it from the Egyptian standpoint, and if we see the turmoil in countries, whether it be Tunisia or Algeria, et cetera, the question we really need to pay attention to is the risk that the potential of subversive interest, hint, hint, Muslim Brotherhood, could derail the process by a weary or perhaps even ignorant public that doesn't even realize the strength of that entity and their ability to alter the course of this democratic movement. And that's a great risk. That's something we need to be all watching for and paying attention to.
Absolutely. Curtis Greco, just great stuff. We have to have you back on again. Tell everybody you can go to your blog, theimperfectmessenger.com. And, of course, also, as I mentioned at the top, Blind Vision is his book. We look forward to speaking with you, Curtis, again in the future. That was good stuff. Pay attention to what he was saying. I think he was dead on about the situation in the Middle East and especially what's happening in Egypt. Curtis, thanks. Appreciate your time.
You bet, Kate. Thanks so much. Look forward to being with you again.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Shank. This week, we introduced a new product from eFoods Direct, corn chowder. And let me tell you, its homemade flavor is absolutely amazing. You know eFoods. We've brought you the best food on the planet for years. As you know, we pioneered a line of quick-fix meals that are super easy to fix. Obviously, winter is upon us. You can save 20% on the wonderful soup and bakery special. It's a lot of food for less than a dollar a serving. It includes the new corn chowder I told you about and the other wonderful soups. It also includes the delicious cornbread muffins and buttermilk biscuits to go with the soup. So you have great food you can serve this winter or jumpstart your food savings account for the future. Saving 20%. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Stops costly pump outs and repairs and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
It's the time of year when we start thinking of Major League Baseball once again. In fact, your favorite hometown pitchers and catchers are packing their bags to head to Arizona or Florida. But when did this all start? Find out next with me, the Sports Princess on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Boost Kit Essentials Nutritionally Complete Drink, providing your picky eater with essential nutrition and great taste in one drink. Visit us at kitessentials.com. To make sure your kids eat healthy, follow the 5-a-day plan. Serve 3 servings of vegetables and 2 servings of fruit daily. Remember, a serving could just mean a piece of fruit or a half cup of veggies. If your kids are picky eaters, ask a nutritionist about other sources. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
It was really in the early 1900s when Major League Baseball teams started having their players get ready for the season in warmer climates, from about mid-February to opening day, which usually falls around April 1st. Where the teams trained was kind of all over the map. The Cubs practiced at one point in Florida and in Los Angeles in the 20s. The St. Louis Cardinals made Hot Springs, Arkansas their home at one point. And my favorite, the Pirates' lucky dogs, went to Honolulu. In 1915, the Philadelphia Phillies went to the Sunshine State and never looked back. And how about this? All but 6 of today's major league teams have trained in Florida at some point in their history, giving birth to the Grapefruit League. In 1947, Bill Veeck, the owner of the Cleveland Indians, took his tribe to Tucson, and legend has it he convinced the New York Giants at the time to come to Phoenix, and Arizona became known as the Cactus League. And boy, do the fans come. This year, the $100 million Salt River Fields in Scottsdale, Arizona, will house the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies. Can you say batter up? This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts.
Yeah. Crowd party and confused. It's called baby stupid. Starting to lose.
Hey, everybody. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Here we are at the start of another big week. I'm sure in your neck of the woods and elsewhere. And we got a whole lot of things in this next 2 segments that we're going to jump to here on America Tonight. Including, let me fill in the blanks a little bit more on Egypt. I think you know that this juncture, Mubarak is, of course, out. We've been talking about that. Done since Friday. And it was very strange on Friday because it was kind of like being on a roller coaster that completely flew off the tracks and then suddenly they repaired it and then it was back on the tracks. because there was some confusion. Mubarak steps up, then everybody thought, this is it, he's resigning, and then he says, no, I'm going to stay in place, and he hands over the power to Suleiman, but he's still in charge of the Constitution. It was all very confusing. So here's what happened. In the last couple of days, boom, by late Friday, he was, in fact, done resigning. Gee, he had a power grip on on the country 30-plus years. But Egypt's military dissolved the parliament and suspended the constitution to take care of that problem. That made sense. That happened on Sunday. That follows the ouster of Mubarak telling the people that they would be in charge, the military would be in charge for 6 months or until the elections could be held. So the Supreme, to make it all official, so you get it, the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces said they're going to appoint a committee to propose these changes to the Constitution. Then it gets submitted to the voters. That council will have the power to issue new laws during the transition period. So follow me. This is February until September. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in Egypt, because a whole lot of things could happen. Who's to say that democracy is going to be unfurled on these people of Egypt and all is going to be well with the world and peace in Egypt and everything will be fine, just like it was in the past for other people who had concerns in the Middle East? Who knows? It's a wild new frontier. There were a lot of things that could happen here. And even with the military, because some of the opposition people who have been in the streets, Muslim Brotherhood folks and some others, they certainly could have their own little uprising, and they're going to demand, I guarantee, that the military explain some more about what they're going to do. And if they don't, could see more people out in the square again in Cairo. Remember, what's interesting also about what's happened in Egypt is the fact that in the 18 days, what was this about? How did this start? 18 days. Social media, Twitter, setting up a Facebook page. The Google exec, the Egyptian Google exec, did that. And you had a sea of people that who are disenfranchised, who were young, unemployed, who filled the square. They weren't the only ones, but they were the majority of the people. So Mubarak steps down, and now you've had this guy in place since forever and a day, because he was a military guy originally, and he's been in power 30-plus years. I mean, even before that, with his military expertise. So this is complete new dawn. And it can mean a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything is going to be, to the outside world, smooth sailing, because who knows? Tahrir Square has been really the epicenter of this eruption of social media and change for all these protests. Now, things have been taken down, and there's order, and stores have opened up, and all that sort of thing. But that can change. And, in fact, they've had protests at the bank there, at the headquarters of the National Bank of Egypt, because they're forcing that the chairman of that bank and a couple of others who run the bank as well are out. They forced them out, basically. They had to resign. And why do you think that is? Well, because the protesters realized that money is gone. That money that was supposed to go to Egypt isn't there. So the banks are shut down until Wednesday. And, you know, Mubarak's family has had their fingers in all these pies. This will change everything. Even Cairo Stock Exchange said they're going to freeze transactions from former ministers and businessmen who are under investigation. Of course they're under investigation, because who knows what went where. And then you have people complaining about wages. So there are a lot of things that are going on in Egypt. just looking at it on the surface, the unrest right now, today, is done. But where do they go from here to bring it all around and the things that we've been talking about this hour? All right, I said that I was going to give you a few political valentines in the spirit of love and all that. How about this? I thought, you know, if I'm House Speaker John Boehner, he seems to be trying to play well with others, not just the people who love him in his own camp. He's trying to do that. So I would say, what if he had a valentine that he sent out to all his GOP brethren that said, hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. Let's not have any problems. We had that one situation with a congressman in New York. Ooh, ouch. The no shirt thing, the Craigslist deal. Ooh, we don't need that. Let's keep it clean. Let's try to get to the finish line. Because after all, we need somebody who's sexy without taking his shirt off for 2012. Assuming that's going to be a man. Okay, so the other valentine I thought of, and there could be a lot, that President Obama should be sending out a lot of valentines, but one could just strictly be to the American people, and it would be something like this. Please, please reelect me. Think about it. Make up the little candy hearts. Have Robert Gibbs is now out, so he's got time on his hands. He could hand the hearts out to the voters. First he goes to New York, stands outside of many of the subway stations, and hands them out. Please, please reelect me, because that's what it's going to be about, 2012. And some of his key guys will be playing for 2012. So that's two of them. We've got some other political valentines. You might be much more clever than I am. And if you are, please share your own with me. In the next 2 days, we're going to do this. So 800-259-5791 or americatonight.com. Net, americatonight.net. You can send them to me that way as well. A couple of other quick things, because I know some of you are fans of the music biz, right? You know, we're all hardcore when it comes to politics. We want to vent our frustration and say what's wrong with this country and this is the direction we should be going in, and et cetera, right? But all of you are kicking back. As hardcore as any of you are, I guarantee many of you have this little contraption called the iPod. I mean, you're a real throwback if you're going to 8-tracks or cassette tapes. Does anybody have those? Does anybody have a record player anymore? Are you spinning the vinyl back there? So I'm assuming most of you have at least an iPod, probably the mini or something else. That's what you're listening to. That's what you're listening on. And you're listening to music. So how about this? Lady Gaga didn't win the Album of the Year Grammy. How about that? Eminem didn't either, because that was part of the buzz leading up to it. Music writers were talking about how many top hits she's had and that this was a possibility. So here's what the scoop is. Here are some of your winners. Some of these groups, I have to confess, I barely know. I barely know some of these groups. And you may know them better than me. So let's tell you a couple of them. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. Whet your appetite, so to speak. Record of the Year, Lady Antebellum, Need You Now. Album of the Year, The Suburbs, Arcade Fire. Song of the Year, Lady Antebellum, Need You Now. Also, the rock album was The Resistance, The Muse. Eminem, I Like This, the rap album, Recovery. Female country vocal performance, Miranda Lambert, The House That Built Me. How about that? Lady Gaga, female pop vocal performance, Bad Romance. I'm just saying.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
What bothers you most about menopause? Is it the hot flashes? Waking up at night drenched in sweat? How about the mood swings or putting on weight? Tens of thousands of women have turned to Amberen to get relief from their menopause symptoms. Will Amberen work for you too? The only way to find out is to give it a try. That's why we're giving every woman who calls today a complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen with a 30-day supply free. Amberen is all natural, and its safety and effectiveness is backed by published clinical studies. Do you want a life without hot flashes, night sweats, or mood swings? Want to lose weight, sleep great, and have more energy? We've made trying Amberen completely risk-free, and you get a 30-day supply free. All you have to do is make the call. To claim your complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen, visit GetAmberen.com or call 1-800-647-9277. That's 1-800-647-9277. 1-800-647-9277.
Flavor here for fun on ATN. That was Arcade Fire, the Suburbs album of the year. How about that? Matt, he's great. You ask and he gets it for you. So how about that? And you might have heard that before on the show. I was telling you about a couple of the other people who had won Grammys. Wow, 53 years of the Grammys. The solo rock vocal performance went to Paul McCartney for Helter Skelter. And then it's amazing the categories they have. It's like they have every category you can imagine so that you have a better chance of winning. I'm just saying. Like Rihanna, dance recording, only girl in the world, right? How about them Crooked Vultures, New Fang, that's hard rock. Rock performance by a duo or a group of vocals, Tighten Up, the Black Keys. And then rock song, Angry World, Neil Young, and he was also the songwriter. Jeff Beck, rock instrumental performance, Hammerhead. Iron Maiden for metal performance, El Dorado. And, you know, the list goes on and on. I like this. CeeLo Green, urban alternative performance. Have a guess at what he won for. Any idea? How about the F and then the U. Yeah. Yeah, the Feng Shui. Feng Shui you. He was on Saturday Night Live, and they kind of spoofed the whole thing where they had to put something else in there. It was pretty funny. And then, you know, Jay-Z won a bunch, like rap performance by a duo. He won On to the Next One and the rap sung collaboration, Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, Empire State of Mind. And, I mean, the list, this must have been it could have been a seven-hour show for how many awards they give out. Matt, do you watch the Grammys? Have you ever watched the Grammys?
I've watched in the past, but I don't mm-hmm. make it a point to sit there and watch the Grammys, I guess. But I do check out the performances later on because they're all posted online. You can find them. And so I'll check out some of the performances probably later this week, maybe tomorrow or something like that. But I'm not going to watch the whole show.
No, I can't do that either.
I don't even know who hosted this year, to be honest with you.
I don't either. I have no idea. I just think it's funny at, you know, how many... and probably because the artists say, well, it's not really fair. You can't really just have 10 categories because they're all the music is so different and for different reasons. Like you have spoken word album. Spoken word album is not going to compete with this other stuff. So The Daily Show with Jon Stewart wins that. And it was for Presents Earth. And then you have comedy album, Lewis Black. Then you have score, soundtrack album for motion picture, television, or other visual medium. And that was Toy Story 3, Randy Newman, you know. So, like I said, the list was pretty lengthy. And because music is now the breadth of music and how it's performed, I guess, is just not so cut and dry. They don't make it that way. Because sometimes I think it's like with these acting awards, which I think are political anyway, they have X amount of awards. But I don't think these actors and actresses always fall into these categories, supporting actor or just actress or best actor. Really, they're more a supporting role or, you know what I'm saying. But imagine if it's like in the playground now, which I think is so crazy that you don't have first, second, and third, right? First, second, and third. Maybe you threw in an honorable mention. So when I was growing up, too bad. If you didn't win, you didn't win. There was no, you got honorable mention to the honorable mention. So everybody walks away with a ribbon. I think that's ridiculous. Are the Grammys becoming too much like that? Let's give everyone we possibly can an award. Let's have a category for everything. You know, it's not going to be just, I get that it can't just be 10 categories. But how many categories, for goodness sake, do you need? Honorable mentions. There's too many of them. It's crazy. Crazy. A couple other quick things. We want to also plug some of the gaps for you, some things that you might have missed. Believe it or not, it's not all about the Grammys. We just threw that in for fun. How about this? The hits just keep on coming in Mexico. I can't imagine how many people have canceled trips to Mexico. A lot of people, believe it or not, used to go to Mexico City, not just the Mexican Riviera to get suntan and drunk and play some golf or whatever. There are now 8 people dead in Mexico City, but they're so used to the mass shootings, I hate to say, that this is almost people are... I don't know. They're almost sort of glazed over to it. I guess that's the way to say it. It's just not shocking anymore. So you had guys with guns who killed 8 people in a drive-by attack right there in Mexico City. 6 men, 2 women, and one of them apparently survived. And this is, what do you think this is? It's drug violence. Of course it's drug violence. So I keep looking at the total. And the total is astronomical. There have been 34,600 and counting drug-related deaths since Felipe Calderon began his so-called crackdown on the crackheads or the cartels who were selling to the crackheads in December of 2006. And it's no holds barred. It doesn't matter. Anybody, anything's possible as far as who can end up in a dire situation with these thugs. And there are not a lot of survivors. There's not a lot of survivors. What has to happen? Somebody said to me tonight, it made me think about this before going on the air. We keep having this conversation about legalizing marijuana, and it crops up on various ballots across the country. And usually it ends up shot down, or medical marijuana and the discussion over medical marijuana. Legalization of marijuana, what would that do to Mexico? Would that, in fact, curb the drug violence, the cartels, and all of that? Because now, sure, some drugs are still coming over, some of the other drugs, but marijuana, not such a big deal anymore, boys, because it's grown all over the United States. It's legal. No one cares. Get stoned, don't get stoned, your business. We're not going after the little guy anymore. We don't care. So you're not going to make the big money off of pot. The problem is the meth, the coke, all the other things. And then there's the discussion of, you know, is pot a gateway drug? I'm iffy on that. I've seen both sides of that with a couple of different people. But would legalizing marijuana really cut down some of the problems along the border or what's happening in Mexico? Let them sort it out. Kill themselves, that's it, because there's nothing to do anymore. Because we're done, we're out of it. Because we've got it here and we grow it, we don't need you. No problem, we don't need it anymore, right? Just a thought. Okay, here's something to end on. Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to many of you, wherever you are. It might be the day already. President Obama is going to propose a 2012 federal budget. We've been talking about it. The White House says it's going to actually cut deficits by $1.1 trillion over 10 years. Boy, there's some interesting things in this budget. I have a feeling it's not going to be a happy Valentine's Day for the president, but he knows that. The reception will be very chilly. It's not a surprise. Part of what the budget calls for is a mix of things, including spending, which is such an ugly word these days, spending to boost our competitiveness, and then some selective, if you will, tightening of the belt on deficit reduction. $1.1 trillion in deficit reduction. Good luck with that.
I've got a really bad hangover, so if you aren't willing to have a sensible conversation, I'm just going to shut the curtains.
He could take the endorsement and shove it.